Blog Talk Radio.
I ain't got nothing but three things to say about that.
Amador, the Juicy Woman. I'm the author of the book, Lovin' the Skin You're In, and today you're listening to my radio show, the Lovin' the Skin You're In Blog Talk Radio. Let's talk about a new way of thinking, okay? You may have a habit of thinking about things as either good or bad, but many times we get sucked up into a current and we can't seem to think straight because our brain just replays the same information over and over again. You know, when we judge something and it seems threatening, our internal sensors go off and warn us that we're in danger. And that's when we get so wrapped up in trying to give something a name and put it into a category that we lose all sight of being able to figure it out. We lose all of our resourcefulness. What happens then? We just shut down. Today I want to talk about something called NLP. Oh, gosh, it's so, so close to my heart. I'm a master practitioner of neuro-linguistic programming, and NLP is really, okay, hold on. Let me tell you. NLP, it stands for neuro-linguistic programming, and it started way back in the 70s. It was brought together by two guys, Richard Bandler and John Grinder. They designed a system to teach people strategies to be able to communicate effectively. The whole purpose of NLP was to give people the ability to change the way that they see their experience, to change their thoughts, their feelings, and behaviors. Now, let's break down NLP, neuro-linguistic programming. Neuro is the way that we think. We get information through our senses. Depending upon the individual, we have, there are five basic senses. We have the ability to see, hear, taste, touch, and smell, and of course also extrasensory perception, but that's not really included in the senses. That's the intuitive sense. Anyway, the brain stores all of this information. This information is processed by our brain and it becomes a single thought. These thoughts, they come all together and they create the foundation of the things that we believe in life. These are our beliefs. And this determines the way that we see the world. And what it's often called is this is our map for our perception of reality. Linguistics, the part of NLP, linguistics has to do with language, the way we use our words and the meaning that we attach to their interpretation. And what that means is that the concept travels back and forth to your brain depending upon the way that you see something. So your interpretation, when I say the word mom, will be completely different from my interpretation of the meaning of the word mom. Think about it. Our thoughts are tied to our language patterns. And programming is all about our tapes. Those are the internal tapes that we have inside of us. If you think about a computer, our programs inside of us, inside of our thoughts, inside of our beliefs, they hold all the information that link up our experience with an interpretation of meaning. Now, there are basically two motivations behind every single action we do. It's either to gain pleasure or to avoid pain. And that means that you've either linked up an experience with pain or something, or linked it up with pleasure. And your brain is always making distinctions, always asking questions and determining what's right for you. Can you think of an example of a connection that you've made for yourself? Think about something. By the way, this is a live show, and I would love to have you call. The number is 760-888-5736. If anybody... Please, call in and share your experience. You've probably heard of a gentleman named Viktor Frankl. He wrote the book Man's Search for Meaning. And during World War II, he was in a Nazi concentration camp. And when he was there, he realized that he had to change the way that he thought about his experience of being there. He looked around him, and everybody was being killed, incinerated, and all sorts of horrible things. And he realized that if he didn't change the way that he saw his experience, that he would also be one of the victims that would be killed. And he absolutely refused to go quietly. He survived. The way that that happened was that he realized, he told himself that he was going to remember this experience and never, ever forget it, so that he could tell others about the fact that he had survived and the horrible atrocities that he had undergone and the fact that he survived. By him doing that, by him holding that huge, tremendous reason for living, that kept him alive. NLP teaches us that we can change any program or any way of thinking, any limiting belief that you have, by changing its meaning. And the most important thing to remember is that you have to really, really want to change. Like Viktor Frankl, he really knew that his life was on the line, and if he did not change the way that he was thinking about his situation, then he was just going to go down. And this is what it means to create anchors. Here, I'm going to give you a quick little acronym, WIN, W-I-N. What we're talking about here is an anchor. An anchor is a feeling, a touch, a scent, a sound, or a sight. And the whole purpose of it is that it stirs your brain to remember something, a specific experience or an event. In a previous broadcast, we talked about the times when I was a kid, when I used to write down all of the lyrics from Elton John's songs, and I would sit and write them all out. And what that means for me is that his music brings up such a strong sentiment and a connection, a feeling of good times. So every single time I hear something, some music of his, it touches me deeply. Let me give you an example. Years ago, I got stuck running the family real estate business way back when I was 24 years old. My Nana and I ran the business together for about 18 years, and I made the best of it, but I was so resentful. I was so angry that I was in this place and I didn't want to do it. And I felt like I didn't have a choice. Kind of like, I felt that I was stuck by obligation. I felt trapped by a sense of guilt and obligation. And after my Nana passed away, I was left alone to handle all of that on my own. And in addition to that, I was grieving my loss because I adored my Nana. And I was so completely overwhelmed. And I remember those times. It felt like there was nothing that I could do would be right. The phone never seemed to stop ringing. I had bills piled up on my desk, probably a yard high. It was total chaos. Everything was going straight to hell. My relationship with my family was dying, completely suffering. I had no connection with my friends because I never wanted to, you know, spend time with anybody. I felt like I was alone in the world. I felt like I had dug a hole, climbed in, and didn't know who to call or what to do to get back in control. I was miserable. I had to make a change. I was in such a bad place. I was going to therapy, but that really wasn't doing anything for me. So I went to a Tony Robbins seminar. Hey, doesn't everybody? You can say anything you want about the guy, but I think he's fabulous. It was his seminar that helped me remember that I had the power to do anything I wanted. The first day of the seminar, I did a fire walk. Oh, my God! That meant that I walked across a bed of hot coals. Yo, what amazing power! I never felt that strong or empowered before. For me, that was a whole new beginning. From that point, life would never, ever be the same way. I knew that as of that moment, that sense of being able to do that, I had all the resources I needed to harness the power and focus my life in any direction to change anything I wanted to. That fire walk was so powerful for me. That was the first step, that first brave step. And that became my new anchor for success. Every time I thought about feeling insecure and uncertain of myself, I went back and I thought, wow, well, if I could do that, then I could do this. If I could walk on cold, then I can write that article. Or if I can walk on hot coals, then I could do this book. I could write this book. So it still comes up for me. I always think about things that, you know, we always get stuck and we get caught up in our limiting beliefs. But what I'm going to suggest to you to do is to think about something that you have done before that you just killed it. It was so amazing. You did an incredible job. If you go back and you imagine and you think about the way that you felt and you think about how you felt and what you were thinking and what everything looked like around you, because during those times, your sight is different. You're able to see things differently. You're able to feel things differently. You experience things differently. It's like in Dolby sound where everything is intensified. That is such a powerful element for you to be able to overcome resistance, overcome challenges that you're feeling. Now, it's simple, but it's not easy. And here's the strategy that I say to win. This is what I use to make a change in my life. Step number one, like Viktor Frankl did and like I did also, we both had to get out of bad situations. His was way, way worse than mine. But what you need to do is you need to have a huge why. Why is something important to you? Why do you want to do it? Why do you want to get out of it? What will change in your life? For me, I had to get to the point of knowing why I had to change. I made a commitment to do whatever it would take to climb out of my hole, out of my rut, out of my feeling sorry for myself. Everything about my neurology changed that day when I walked on those hot coals. And the hours leading up to the fire walk, that was so incredible, because basically what Tony Robbins was doing was he was creating a situation where there was like a mass hypnosis where everybody was kind of in a trance. He was creating a trance situation where he continued to reinforce the anchor that we were going to do this. We were going to succeed at it. We were going to all be able to do this. And so I made the commitment to do whatever it would take to turn my life around. I connected to what was hurting so much in my life. And that's what I want you to do. I want you to think about whatever it is that's hurting you, whatever it is that's causing you pain, whatever it is that's making you feel insecure and angry and sad and not good enough. That's what you need to do. You need to connect to that and realize that if that doesn't change, your life will get worse, or even, yeah, it will get worse, and that will be unimaginable. This is why when you want to push yourself to change something, when you want to move to a different level, when you want something different in your life, you have got to move from the point of being so damned uncomfortable with the situation as it is that you can't stand it another minute. That's the beginning. I know you think I'm nuts. That's cool. But I know from personal experience that from that, you can focus so intensely on what you want and achieve anything. You know, I'm pretty lucky. My dad taught me the value of learning and thinking outside of the box way, way earlier. when I was way back, 11 years old, I got the chance to go with him and my stepmother, Rosie, to so many personal growth seminars. And they really have a wonderful, I hold them so dear in my heart. Doing that experience of being a part of that kind of learning at that tender age, when I was so young and impressionable, it set up a core belief in me that I could change whatever it is that I needed to by focusing my mind on a goal. That was the very first example for me of the power of thoughts and how our thoughts affect our reality. I remember at that time, there was the phrase, "You are the master of your own destiny." Yeah, yeah. So that was such a powerful thing. I know that you can do anything. There's probably stuff that's going on in your life that's preventing you from feeling like you can do anything and from feeling that's putting you in a place where you're not really feeling like yourself, where you're freaking out, where you're upset, where maybe you're reaching for food when you're not hungry, maybe you're just feeling anxious all the time and unhappy and miserable. What's going on is that there's a part of your body that's saying to you, you need something more. You need something more than food can give you. Because food will never, ever fill that ache, that desire for more. But the problem is, we have to get to the point of being so frustrated and so angry at the way things are. Now, hear me. I'm not talking about beating up on yourself for overeating. I'm talking about looking at what are the triggers. If you remember the last time I spoke with Jewel, who called in, and she said that she was having a tough time and that many times she faced situations where she felt upset, and that was before when she judged herself for overeating and she felt upset about that. And I want you to be really, really clear that there is no shame in overeating. There is no sense whatsoever in jumping on yourself about it and getting upset about it, because you must realize that when you're overeating or when you're doing anything that is showing that you're upset, whether it's shopping, overeating, sitting, you know, killing time, you know, hanging out at the computer, surfing the web when you need to be writing a report or something, it doesn't mean that you're undisciplined. It doesn't mean that you're a bad person or anything. What's really going on is it means that there's some part of your life that you need to look at because your emotions are in conflict. And when your emotions are in conflict, it means that you're not running on, what is it, eight horses? I don't know, whatever, the highest horsepower. You're not running on all six cylinders, whatever, that you're not being 100% yourself, that there's something holding you back. So what it is that I teach, as I've described before, is the emotional freedom technique. And that's one of the ways of being able to release, pull that energy back out of you, take all of that frustration and anxiety and conflict and all of that, and transform that into energy that works for you. Can you imagine? Can you just imagine taking back all of the years that have been wasted on all of the compulsive or obsessive behaviors that you've done? For me, it would be emotional eating. If I think about going back like 34. If I think of going back 34 years and recapturing all of that time that I spent wasting thinking about, oh, my God, what will I eat? How much? Oh, I can't eat that. Oh, I can't go out because I've already used my points for the day. Oh, my God. If you think about all of this time that has been wasted on this nonsense obsession, that really has nothing to do with the quality of your life. It's not doing anything for you in terms of improving your relationships or making you a happier person or making you realize what a wonderful person you are and how many talents and gifts you have. If you think about just sucking that all up and using that energy in a new, productive way, oh, my God, what could you do? What could you do with your life taking all of that back? What would you do? Would you write a book? Would you go for your PhD? Would you move to Rome? Would you start a newspaper? You can do anything. But what I want you to know is you have to really look at what's going on in your life now. Most likely the reason that you're here listening to this radio show is because there's something that's bugging you. There's something that's upsetting you. Maybe it was a feeling about your body, this feeling of like a current of uneasiness or dissatisfaction or whatever it is that has brought you here, has made you feel anxious and unhappy. And maybe you were thinking that I could give you something, just hand you something like happy dust, and you'd all of a sudden feel better. It doesn't work that way. You have all the answers. I don't have the answers for you. All I can do is elicit them from you. By you connecting with what's going on in your life and looking at the pain that's driving you, that will get you that much closer to changing your relationship with food, to changing your relationship with whatever way it is that you're using to deal with your stress, whether it's going out and shopping or food or surfing the net or just anything, whatever it is, drinking doesn't matter. Back to what was going on. The WIN. Okay, the acronym, the WIN. Okay, the interrupt. I interrupt. When I walked over the coals, I interrupted my old pattern of being afraid. Oh, I'm afraid. I can't do it. Oh, my gosh, I'm alone. I'm so scared. All that time I had allowed fear to control me for so many years, that was over. Like in that millisecond, walking across those coals, I saw myself as this different person who I never, ever could have imagined myself to be. I remembered that I used to believe that I could create my own destiny way back at 11 years old. When I walked over those coals, I became that person again. I became that young girl with all of those beliefs and all of that sense of, wow, I can do this. For that moment, I broke that victim pattern and rediscovered the powerhouse in me. N, new association. Now, whenever I think about taking risks, I get excited. I associate that with being happy and fulfilled. Now, don't get me wrong. I still freak out and go through my craziness, and I get scared, and I get all resistant, and I procrastinate, and I need a kick in the pants every now and then. But the thing is that I now know what it is that I need to do when I get into that victim-y place. Every day now, I look for ways to step out of my box. Oh, my gosh. Let me tell you about a story, what happened this week. I had to order a new computer, and call me a technophobe, because yes, I am. I remember back when I used to take classes at CompUSA for Windows 95. I thought that was challenging. Well, this computer has Windows 8, and everything seems to be zinging all over the place, and nothing stayed on the screen, and it was insane. I was so incredibly frustrated. I had something to do, and I had to use the computer, and I had to use the internet as well, and nothing was working. And I thought about it after a while, after being so frustrated for like 2 hours or so, and I said, this is ridiculous. I'm acting like a victim. So pathetic. I was so angry at the thing. And then I thought to myself, okay, let me just really sit down. And I started tapping, and I started reading the instruction manual. And from that, I started to get a little bit more resourceful. I'm still pretty much overwhelmed by it all, but I wasn't so angry. So I created a new awareness that I could learn something new. Even though I'm not jazzed about computers, it's fine. I can handle it. I want you to think about your brain as a jukebox. Imagine that you have a whole bunch of records, and you can play any record, whatever you want. And you have the choice. You can always play a different record. You know, if you've ever had the situation where, have you ever had the situation where you've had a trip from hell? The purpose was to visit somebody, and in the process of visiting the person, you rented a car, and something went wrong with the car. Maybe the car overheated, and it was a hot day, and the sun is beating on the hood of the car, and everything is hot, and then there's traffic and the noise, and it's just crazy. So by the time that you get there, you're still holding on to all of this frustration and anger and, you know, Okay, so by the time you get there, you're still holding on to all of this stuff that's going on. And what we don't realize is that because the brain can't tell the difference between what it imagines and what's real, you're still perpetuating that same emotion of being frenetic and upset and angry. And just as easily, you can switch and change to something else. I wanted to talk to you today about the power of belief and how it is so... Belief is the foundation of your world. If you don't believe that you can do something, well, you'll be damned, but you can't do it. You're not going to be able to do something unless you believe it. In the same way that you believe that you can do something, you will do it. You'll move heaven and earth to do it. One of my favorite parts of my NLP practitioner training was at the end of each class, we would always have the instructor would read a story to us, and I just loved that because, as I had mentioned to you earlier in earlier broadcasts, I teach through story, and what that means is that as you hear the story, you associate, and your subconscious mind goes out, and it finds meaning in what it is that I'm sharing, and it brings it close to you. It becomes a part of you. Each one of us will interpret the story in a different way. Let me tell you the story of how to tame a giant elephant. Okay. In India, elephant keepers train baby elephants to stay put by tying them to a rope. With a stake on one side, around one leg, and placing the stake into the ground. Now, the little baby elephant pulls and pulls and tries to get out, tries to get the rope free, but it can't no matter what because it's just too small. But what's going on is it teaches the little elephant that no matter what he does, he can't get away as long as he's attached to the rope. Later on, as the elephant grows up, and the keeper still wants to keep the elephant, you know, under control, doesn't do anything different. The elephant still is held by a piece of rope on the leg. And this huge elephant is kept at bay just because he believes that he can't pull the stake out of the ground. Now, how amazing is that? Hey, you guys, come on, call me. 760-888-5736. I would love to hear from you. Let's see. Okay, so let me tell you that there are certain basic assumptions in NLP. The first one, the map is not the territory. And that just means, let's see. It means that reality and your perception of reality are different. So let me break that down even more. Okay, corned beef sandwich. Let's say I give you a choice between having, maybe you don't like corned beef sandwich. All right, so I give you a choice between having a corned beef sandwich or having a picture, a beautiful, fabulous picture of a corned beef sandwich on a menu. Which would you choose? It's no-brainer, right? You would choose the sandwich. What that means is that your perception of reality is diluted, and it's not the same as what really happened. So in the same way that the picture of the corned beef sandwich is not the real thing, such is the same with your memory. Your memory does not reflect what really happened. And that in many ways, our memories are faulty, and we remember things in a way that I'm talking specifically of disempowering memories, of memories where you've been hurt or someone has said something to hurt you. These are things that come up over and over again. And it's kind of like, it's kind of like burp. When you say something or when something is said to you and it hurts, it's upsetting, and it comes up repeating. I am so lost right now. Anyway, the map is not the territory. The other thing I really want you to know is that every single thing that we do, there's a purpose. Even though it doesn't seem like it, there's a reason for every single thing that we do. And the most important part to remember about that is that everybody is always doing the best that they can with what they have, with what they know. Depending upon our experiences and how we've learned and the things we've learned and the people who have taught us, all of us, no matter whether you are a mass murderer or Mother Teresa, it does not matter. You are always doing the best with what you have. Now, I'm not telling you that this is the way it is. I'm telling you that what I'm teaching you is called a presupposition. It's an NLP presupposition, which means that it's a useful framework. This is a useful framework for being able to think about your experience in life. Because, truthfully, if you're thinking of yourself as a victim and walking around and feeling bad about yourself and feeling like, ooh, I was born under a bad star, then there's really nothing that you could do. You might as well just throw your hand up and say, oh, well, game over. That doesn't do anybody any good. You'll never, ever be able to change with that. Speaking of change, this is a fabulous one. This is called failure into feedback. You know how many times we do things and we don't get the kind of response that we want? Well, many times we tend to think, or many of us have been trained or conditioned to believe, that that means we failed. And the natural inclination when you feel that you failed is to pull back and say, "Oof, I don't want to do that anymore. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to, you know, show myself as being weak. I'm not going to make a mistake like that. Oh, no, not me." And we stop trying. What is it? I think that Thomas Edison had to make changes to the light bulb, the filament in the light bulb, like 10,000 times before he actually got a working bulb. Can you imagine 10,000 tries? And the guy didn't give up. That really rocks. If instead of thinking about something as pass or fail, you did it right or you did it wrong, instead, just look for the kernels of whatever it is that you're doing that will give you the feedback you need to know. Do I need to go a little bit to the left? Do I need to go to the right? Do I need to do more of this? Do I need to do less of this? Do I need to add this? Do I need to take it away? Think about what you need to do to change a situation in your life. You know, guys, please call me, 760-888-5736. Remember that all results, every single result you get, no matter how ugly, no matter how bad it may look, it's actually an achievement. You may not be getting the achievement you want, but it is the result of something else. So if it's not what you want, then you need to change it. You need to modify it in some way. Another very, very powerful NLP presupposition is that people are designed to communicate. It's not possible for us not to communicate. We're always communicating, whether it's nonverbal, which is like 70% of our communication, or verbal. And many times, communication is, it's the quality, let me see how to put this. The response that you get is giving you feedback about how the person is interpreting what it is that you have said or done. There's a saying that the meaning of your communication is the response it elicits, and that means independent of the intention that you had. So when you're not getting the response that you want from somebody, you have to kind of turn yourself inside out and look at things from their point of view and think, oh, well, okay, how did this person perceive what it is that I said? So let's see. I'm going to lay myself bare with this. One of the things that my husband does that really gets under, it just gets to me, is when I come home shopping, food shopping, and I have a bunch of bags, he gives me this look. He says, "Honey, did you check the refrigerator? You know, you already have so much spinach or whatever." Now, there's this old thing from me where when I was a kid, I used to get yelled at a lot. And there's a tone in Angel's voice that has that just enough of that irritation sound that I'm very, very conditioned to, you know, hearing. And so that just puts me in a defensive place where I'm not at my most resourceful when that happens. So what I need to think about is to see his situation. Wow, my wife is going a little crazy. She's buying like two packages of spinach. We already have one rotting in the house. What is she thinking? And so by thinking about his situation, and I'm not saying that I do this instantly in the moment because it just doesn't happen like that, but after, when I come upstairs and I tap and I'm irritated and I let that anger run through me, then I realize, oh, wow, I'm being ridiculous. What am I doing? That's when I can see situations from his point of view. Flexibility. It all goes to flexibility. That's such a huge, huge NLP presupposition. If what you're doing isn't working, just try something else. So if you know that you do something in a certain specific way that irritates somebody, and you know that every single time that you do it, it irritates them, well, hello, stop doing it. That's why I now check the crispers and the other drawers and whatever before I do my shopping, because that was my way of modifying my behavior so that I would stop doing something that isn't working, that was creating unnecessary stress on my marriage. So what I want you to think about is all of the situations in your life where you can make some little tiny changes in your thought. Let me just go over them real quick again. The map is not the territory. Realize that the things that you're thinking about and the experiences that you have are two different things, and your experiences are always colored by your beliefs. And when you change your belief, you change the way that you represent your experience. So, for example, one of the things that I've been able to do is to change the way that I represent my experience of my past history of being abused, whereas for years, I used to call myself a victim. Poor me, poor me, poor me. And now I realize, oh, my God, if I would not have, you know, gone through that, I would not have been this person. Years ago, I could never, ever have talked to you. I could never have felt comfortable or confident in front of a group or talked to people or, you know, promoted my book or anything because I was so afraid. I was so steeped in shame. I don't feel that way anymore. I feel that I have a message to get out, and it's bigger than me, and it's necessary. Women need to realize how amazing and how powerful we are, and we have to stop thinking about our bodies as being the thing that holds us down. Think about that little elephant. That starts out this little tiny elephant with a little string around its leg, and it grows into this massive pachyderm where, you know, just a little tiny tug, just a little centimeter of a tug would just knock the whole thing down. But because that huge animal does not believe it's possible, he doesn't even try. Have you ever been there? You ever done that? Are there things about you that you're thinking that you might as well not even try? Well, I want you to realize that it's only your belief that's holding you back, not really the truth, but it's only your thought that you can't do whatever it is that you want to do. And remember, everything that we're doing has a reason. There's a purpose for it. So when you find yourself in a place where you're sabotaging yourself, where you're standing in your own way, let's say that you have written a book or you want to write an article, but you find yourself procrastinating and you're just doing everything that you can think of to get out of it. What's really going on is that there's this conflict. There's a part of you that doesn't really want to step into the limelight, doesn't really feel comfortable being a leader and saying, yes, I know this and I can teach you. When you change the way that you feel about that, when you change the way you represent that experience, that's when you'll start doing things that are more consistent with doing what you want to do. As I say, you have all the resources you need. There's nothing anybody can give you that you don't already have. You don't need any You don't need any training. You don't need to read a certain book. You don't need to do anything. You may want to, and it'll definitely move you forward. But in terms of being able to make a change, you're ready now. It's the decision that starts the whole thing. As I said, the process, the when, your big why. Why is it important to you? What is the pain that's causing you so much grief and upset that you can't stand another minute of it? You've got to have that interrupt, that change, that like, wow, game over, I can't stand it anymore kind of thing. That experience, that anchor in your body where you now know it will never be the same way again. The N, the new association. When you create that new association, like Viktor Frankl did, when he said, there is no way I am going to die quietly, then your life will change. Let's see, where was I? Oh, okay, just a review. Failure into feedback. Don't look at things as failure. It's not pass or fail, good or bad. It's looking for the feedback. What are you getting from the things that you're doing? If you think about an equation, what is the result of the combination of things that you've done? Does it work for you or work against you? How do you need to balance the equation? Think about, people are always communicating no matter what. We talk with our bodies, body language, 70%. Huge, huge, huge. People can just feel what it is that you're thinking. Flexibility, so important to be flexible, to realize that by changing just a little tiny thing, whatever it is that you're doing isn't working, then try something else. If anybody has any questions, give me a call, 760-888-5736. Wow, well, I have had a lot of fun with you today. Thank you so much for hanging out with me. I loved it. Need to drink some water. I want to leave you. I don't have my book with me today, so I was going to read you the next checklist. But the one that I really want you to think about is to find a way of getting still. It is so important for you to start to filter out all of the voices that are going on inside of you, all of the shoulds and all of the musts and all of the reasons why you can't do something or you don't think you should do something or you'll be judged for it. You need to start quieting all those voices down and listening to you. Listening to what's inside your heart. Sorry, got a coughing fit going. So when you start to listen to what's in your heart and connect to that wisdom, it's going to become a lot easier for you to be able to shift the way that you think. As you take the 6 NLP presuppositions that I've taught you, and you balance that out with learning more about the tapping and using the tapping, the combination is explosive. It will rock your world. First thing that I want you to do is start getting quiet every day. Find a way of being somewhere in a quiet place, in your home or outside, whatever works for you. But do it consistently, because you will feel the difference between when you're being consistent and when you're not. You'll notice that on days when you're not consistent, when you've missed your silence or meditation or however it is that you want to take your quiet time, whether it's walking, oh my goodness, whether it's walking or sitting quietly, quietly or praying. That is so important because it gives your mind a center point of focus. And when we're caught in the melee of all of the confusion and the craziness of what's going on around us, it's so easy to just get swept up. So the first step in the process is I want you to quiet yourself down each day. Doesn't matter if it's 5 minutes or 10 minutes or even 1 minute. Just start wherever you are. So that is what I want to share with you today. Have a beautiful week. Bye, Juicy Woman.